Welcome to GalacticConnection.com. We are committed to expanding perspectives, bringing forth cutting-edge information and education, and preparing and assisting the planet for the up-and-coming events associated with stepping out of this 3D matrix. We intend to connect minds and hearts around the globe in order to attain global unity and galactic acceptance. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we will bring you the most current topics in the news, as well as education, research, healing information, and out-of-this-world perspectives regarding a variety of topics. For example, you can look forward to discussions on global communities, governments, countries, planets, solar systems, ancient civilizations, and beyond, in addition to metaphysical individuals, angels, extraterrestrials, UFOs, galactic brotherhoods, high councils, and ascended masters. Our guests are experts in these fields, and our GalacticConnection.com show promises to be very thought-provoking.
Let us be together, let us progress and triumph, let us gain energy and momentum. Lead us to clarity, feeling of unity, let there be peace, peace, peace and wonder.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is November 26, 2013, and I have a very nice, exciting guest with me today that many people know about, which is James Gilliland. And James is a minister, a counselor, and a known lecturer. He also has several books, such as Reunion with Source, Becoming Gods, and The Ultimate Soul Journey. Many of you know James because of his eSETI ranch up in, is that in Oregon, James, or is it in Northern California?
It's Washington State.
Washington. I was way off. Okay, way off. So anyway, welcome. I've wanted to hook up with you for so long. And this was a very synchronistic connection, everybody, because he kept popping in my head. And I met him through a very old friend of mine that I hadn't seen in about 7 years at the, was that the Star Knowledge Conference, right?
Yeah.
And so it was meant to be because he had mentioned to Joseph that he wanted to meet me as well. So welcome, James. How are you doing up in the beautiful state of Washington?
Doing great. I mean, it's a beautiful sunny day. If it wasn't for all the chemtrails, they're just bombing it like crazy up here. But other than that, it's a beautiful sanctuary where I live, and a lot of activity here, seen and unseen.
I cannot wait to get up there. It is on my plan for things to do, and not to cause you to eat your heart out, but there is something really major going on with the light workers down here in San Diego, because our skies have been so miraculously clear more than not for about the last month or two.
Yeah. I think I get my own special batch here.
You know, I think you do too.
Yeah, it seems. And actually I heard a guy at the Air Force base bragging about how he had to go spray this UFO ranch, on a regular basis.
And I would think you would be the only one up in that area, correct?
Yeah, I don't know of any other UFO ranches around here. So, good for him. You know, he's really honoring his oath, and he's a very brave soul up there spraying toxics on, you know, children and pregnant.
Big time. Well, don't you just get blown away by the fact that they don't even think about how this is impacting them?
Well, exactly. It's almost like they're hypnotized or brainwashed, which we can talk about that. But it's part of the network. You know, they've signed up for the Archon network, and it's very, very hard to break out of that. And while you're in that network, it seems like you're void of all critical thinking.
I agree. Well, that's part of it. And I want to talk to you about that, too, because some really major things have occurred on my end regarding that exact topic. But before we get into that, just for the people that somehow don't know about James, can you just tell them a little bit about your ranch and what you do and what you offer to the public?
Boy, that's a long one. It's the ranch is a retreat center. It started out as a spiritual retreat center where we were doing a lot of meditation techniques, process oriented techniques. We're having teachers and speakers from all over the world come here, healers of all walks of life. And it's a very eclectic place where people can come and share. And it's located on a vortex. So the awakened healing process gets greatly accelerated. A lot of people come here and they go, God, this is like home. I love it here. And then in about 3 days, all their stuff comes up, you know. So it's a great energy here if you want to resonate and rise to the occasion. But if you don't want to heal, it'll spit you out pretty quick.
You know, it's funny you say that because we threw a very small UFO contact conference, you know, right after Contact in the Desert in Joshua Tree. And apparently, you know, that facility has 17 vortexes on their property.
Oh, wow.
And this is in the middle of the Grand Cross.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine, I mean, anything that could have gone wrong did.
Yeah.
It was absolutely crazy. But anyway, so what I really want to talk with you today about, and I think it's just something that everybody really wants to hear, and that is, where do you feel we are right now in the ascension process? And where do you feel the wheat is being separated from the chaff, so to speak?
Yeah, we're right in the middle of that one, big time. The what I've seen is that there is a huge lifting underway, massive waves of energy coming through, going to be coming through the planet, one right after Thanksgiving, and the other one's right after Christmas. And these energies are, it's like God force energies. They're very intense energies, and they're going to really bring things up, you know, the stuff we missed or didn't heal.
Yeah.
You know, the old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences, even past life issues, all that stuff is going to be accelerated and amplified. And the good news is that when this energy comes in, those who are holding on to the past, you know, they can't release the past. And those who are focusing on tyranny and enslaving others and disempowering people, they're going to have the worst time with these energies, because it's going to basically, they're going to basically implode their energies, and their karma is going to be accelerated, and their consciousness is just not, they're not in the right spot. They're not frequency specific to where the earth is going. So these are the foundation for the end of tyranny.
Well, now you brought up karma. Do you agree or disagree that we are now in a place where there is no more karma?
Well, I think we're in action reaction, and there's the actions are going to be greatly accelerated. So there's no getting around it. I think the energies are just grand accelerators, and they accelerate everything. It's like there's an old passage when they said, you know, that they talk about God being like the sun. You know, it shines its light on everyone and everything evenly. It doesn't judge. Well, these energies that are coming in are just going to amplify everything, and so there always is, you know, there's a downward spiral devolution, and there's an upward spiral of evolution. And the people that are on the downward spiral that are focusing on the negativity and the separation game and the greed and power over others and all that stuff, the controllers, they're going to be accelerated on their downward spiral. And the people going for ascension, you know, that want to live in harmony with each other and the planet, are going to go on the upward spiral.
Yeah, I agree. And do you also think that we're getting to a place where those dimensional realms, so to speak, you know, where you kind of live your day out actively versus, you know, Susie Jones walking down the street, do you feel that that separation has already occurred? I mean, how do you see that playing out for those that really aren't going to take the ascension path?
You know, that's really interesting there. You know, people talk about, we were talking about earth changes, you know, way before the tsunamis hit and a lot of the other things. And I saw the Japan tsunami long before it hit. And we were talking about that and some other things. And people are saying, like, well, you know, there's really nice people living on the coast there. Why are you condemning them? And I said, I'm not condemning them. I said, they are really nice people. They're just bad listeners, you know. They're not paying attention to the future. You know, their soul is yelling at them. You know, spirit's yelling at them. The earth is screaming at them, but they're just not listening. And they've separated themselves so far from nature that, I mean, even the animals know when these things are happening.
Big
they go
time.
High ground. So I said, there's nothing. It's just a disconnect. They became disconnected. They became part of this unconscious network that we call this civilization. And so we need a real shake up or wake up call for those who aren't getting it.
Yeah, I as you know, I'm an alchemist and I play around a lot with, formulas, alchemical formulas. And one of the things I'm seeing across the board is these people are in shock. Like, there's a lot of shock and trauma because, as you've said before, the masks are coming off.
Yeah.
And people are having to assimilate that information, which causes them to completely reconfigure their belief system. And for those of us like you and me, that's like every day of our lives.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're so used to doing that. I mean, I remember in the old days when that used to be, a mind-blowing experience. now it's just part of blazing the trail,
Yeah, I always tell people my truth is flexible. It's like it's changing daily. And as more information comes in and I do the best I can to bring out, the most up-to-date, clearest information I can. But, it's everything's changing. Everything's in flux right now.
I agree. And also, I think there's a level of resistance. I mean, there's definitely all of that we've all talked about exhaustively about being programmed. But there's also this huge amount of resistance. And I see that in my work, too.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what you think about that. I mean, where do you see the resistance within, say, the spiritual community or the UFO community?
Oh, God. And that's that's a book in itself. I feel like, we need to find a balance and we need to redefine what enlightenment means. And enlightenment means to be in knowledge of all of it. The good, the bad, the ugly, the past, the present, the future, everything in the eternal now. So there's a lot of people who go, well, be here now. Well, if that's all you're focusing on, be here now, you're not aware of your future nows, and things that and where the earth is going. So that could catch you, if you're not aware of your past and the trauma that you've experienced in the past and you're not clearing that or healing it, that can also catch you, So in a way, a lot of these New Age teachings are forms of denial that we have to be really aware of. And a lot of them have been actually created out of think tanks, such as Stanford Research, and
RAND and, Corporation.
Yeah, have created some of these things because they get us not to pay attention to what's happened in the past and where our future is going and things like that. So we can just continue being unconscious little consumers thinking everything is okay. And that's a form of denial. So, but you don't want to focus on the negative either or even judge it. It just is, it's happening and pay attention to it.
But, yeah, I can't agree with you more because that's the lens that I use with my site. Mm-hmm. I really try to focus on showing the people. I don't like to use the word light workers. I'm in such agreement with Cameron Day on that. Those of us that have taken an enlightened path, I really feel like we need to hear where the positive shifts are taking place around the world. So I tend to really focus on that. However, I put, a ton of information on the realities.
Exactly. And I think, in the UFO community, that is just amazing what's going on there. And I've been butting my head against that for probably, 30 years, basically. But they're just now starting, even Michio Kaku is saying we're looking in the wrong direction. We should be looking in the dimensions rather than in the, for a physical object somewhere out in space.
True.
But, basically, the vast majority of the ETs are actually spiritual. They're on another level. They're not physical. And so their ships are interdimensional, if we really want to understand the focus of our focus on what's really going on, we need to get past the nuts and bolts, and past the victim programs and the abduction programs and all the other stuff, because although that is going on, it's such a small piece of the puzzle But what I found in the UFO community is that they want physical proof of non-physical events, and they want nuts and bolts when their own science tells them that there's at least 11 dimensions out there and full of life. So, you know, it's kind of crazy the way they go about things. It's pretty unconscious, and it's not fruitful. And so we look at the way we did things here. We learned how to set boundaries and heal unseen negative influences, and we know who's who out in the universe. But we've risen to the occasion, and we've done our intense process-oriented work and spiritual practices, so we could contact with the benevolent, you know, spiritually and technologically advanced beings. So we're probably one of the most successful people on the planet as far as getting incredible footage, you know, actually getting photographs of the higher dimensional beings appearing, you know, all the above. We have boxes and boxes of footage and eyewitnesses, you know, triple PhD Boeing engineers and Skunk Works engineers. But, you know, despite all that and having all the physical evidence and the witnesses and everything else, we're still shunned by the majority of the UFO community because they want, you know, a piece of a ship, or they want nuts and bolts metal ships, which we have pictures of metal ships, you know, but we don't have the hardware here to prove that they're there. But, you know, that, you know, once you have a piece of a UFO, you might as well just, you know, go down to your local jail and put yourself in it, you know, because that's going to be end up, you know.
That's a really good point, because you're basically showing that there's still that position of separation, us mm-hmm. versus them. And one of the things I learned when I was doing UFO gazing, that really, you know, the very first time I was pretty blown away, was what you're seeing in the heavens is an example of what is going on within you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, wow. I mean, you could contemplate that for days. You know?
I know. And I've realized, you know, with these beings, connecting with these beings, the reason I'm connecting with all these different beings is I've been them.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that at the time. And after the connections, I would do research on them and find out who they were and where they came from and things of that nature, and find them in ancient history as well. But it's funny, because when you connect with these beings, they come and hug you like you're a long lost brother or sister or whatever. And it's just amazing the love and the energy of that reunion when you connect with them, and then you realize it's like a homecoming for them. It's much, much different than, they're not aliens, you know, they're not, you know, they're not ET, they're not aliens. They're your family, basically.
Yes. My girlfriend coined the phrase off-worlders.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
I use that a lot.
Yeah, because alien just feels so cold and sterile, you know.
Yeah, it's like they crossed the border or something.
Yeah.
to get into America.
You brought up a really good point about abductions. Do you feel that those are, number one, still going on? And number two, do you have services for people that come up and see you that are going through these types of, you know, very traumatic experiences with their abduction experiences?
Yeah, we've had just a couple recent ones. I can't really talk too much about them because as a counselor, I can't reveal, but I can talk about, you know, the foundation of what we do a lot. And a lot of times what happens is that when people go through this process or get initiated by the higher beings, the other stuff just falls away.
Awesome. But
they have to be ready for it. You know, they have to be ready to drop their victim patterns and things like that. So we take them through any past life trauma and from age one and clear the major patterns out there. And then we initiate them into contact with their own, you know, greater family of man or their main teachers and guides. And we work with like fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensional beings, you know, that are off the wheel, that are ascended. And once that happens, the other guys just stay away. All of a sudden, you know, when they're hooked up with these higher dimensional beings, the other ones back off. And in the process, usually those cords and connections are all unhooked. And then we teach the individual, whoever went through the process, we teach them how to clear their own energies, how to work with the higher dimensional beings, which, you know, maintains their own self-authority. And they can, if they do run into negative, unseen negative influences, they can clear them out, you know, right away and stay, you know, stay in their own power.
God, that's what a what an incredible tribute to you that you're assisting in that way, because I do get the occasional email from people that are really traumatized by being an abductee, and yeah. I will send them your way, because that's great, great news.
It's pretty rough because there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, these beings are extremely advanced, and you got to have your own personal connection with Source or Spirit or God Creator, whatever you want to call it. And luckily, I've had the benefit of a couple near-death experiences that plugged me right into that, and so I'm just a thought away from these higher dimensional beings, and bringing them into the picture just pretty much eliminates all the mischief and the other nonsense.
Fantastic. Well, and you know, that leads me to another question. I mean, for the actual average abductee, I have always wondered, how do they get involved in this sort of contact? Or is this against their will, or did they ultimately somehow give permission?
You know, there's an old saying, and people get really upset about that, there's an old saying, evil is invited, you know, it's always invited.
Okay.
But that's one way of looking at it. Two, they may have some major victim patterns that are creating that experience or that event, and you know, it's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Or the egg, you know, was the trauma of the abductions, did that create the victim patterns, you know, that are continuing, you know? But either way you look at it, however it happened or however it came about, it can be undone. And you can reinstate people back into their own self-authority and connect them up with the more benevolent beings. And so, but I see some people, they either gain emotional or financial support, you know, by being a victim. You know, they don't want to let that victim go. So, and they love going around and telling their story. You know, they don't want to create a new story or change that story. And those people that want to do that, there's not a lot you can do with them because they don't want to take responsibility or do what's necessary to take care of business. But yeah, it's kind of a tricky situation. You know, I've had my run-ins. I've had some run-ins with some pretty nasty beings and grays and reptilians and some other serpent beings and things. And each time I had to learn new tools. I had to get better at standing my ground. And so it's evolved to where I'm at now, where they don't really bother me anymore. They do jump through others every once in a while to create, you know, division and distractions and things. But I'm aware of that now. I'm aware of when they're present, when they're manipulating others or trying to come at me or others. And so, you know, it's you just learn that, you know, from the experiences. You don't see yourself as a victim. You just keep evolving and say, okay, I need better tools. I need to search this out, you know, and find out another way of dealing with this.
So it's like full-blown etheric warfare, right?
It's pretty much.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you basically finding yourself, when you say you have to find additional tools, are you having to do something kind of outside yourself, or is it really more just remembering, you know, some of the core things like pulling down your pillar of light or maybe doing a cloak of invisibility or, you know, things like that?
Yeah, a lot of that. And then also, too, is like, what I found out is connections too. One thing is I was dealing, you know, with the grays, the reptilians, and then discarnate spirits and stuff. And I got on top of that. It was very, you know, it was, you know, a very empowering experience having to deal with that. But then I ran into these beings, these serpent beings, and they are just nasty. I mean, they're powerful and very nasty. And I, you know, they're kind of the height of the negativity, you might say. And so I had to learn how to deal with them. And they were very good at jumping through others, you know, through mates, through friends or things like that. And they would just make your life hell. And I couldn't get rid of them. I couldn't, you know, clear. I could push them out, but they just would come back again. And the other person wasn't doing their work. So it just became a real mess. And so I had a lot of lessons around that arena. And then I connected with these ninth dimensional beings and some of these seventh dimensional lion beings, the protectors of the gods. And when I made that connection and started invoking them and bringing them into the experience, it ended. You know, that was the end of that nonsense. So that's what I'm saying. Each time, you know, when I kept running against, you know, bigger bad nasties, I would have to just make higher connections and learn some more tools.
Now, with the abductions, you were mentioning the greys and the reptilians and the serpent beings. Are those the most common beings that do this sort of thing to us?
Yeah, it's usually the gray reptilian stuff that where most of the abductions are coming from. And you know, they're in cahoots with our own military.
I was just going to ask you that, because aren't they typically very involved with the government?
Yeah, very much involved.
And the serpent beings, now describe to me, do they look full-blown like a snake, but they have an actual body, or?
I see them as a black energy.
Mm.
I've never seen them take form. But I've seen people that are, when they're on them, their aura goes dark. They usually have a black ball of energy around their heart or move. It'll move around. And then they're corded. They're really corded through the usually the sexual energies, the first three chakras, which are survival, sex, and power. They're corded into another dimension or their astral dimension where they're at. And so, you know, I see the effects of it when somebody gets taken over or hooked up by those energies. And it's usually because of a choice that they made.
Yes.
You know, I've unhooked people from all this stuff, and then they go back. They walk right back into it because to them it's security. You know, they're used to having that power and that hookup, you know, and that connection, and they get something out of it. So sometimes, you know, they'll go back and, you know, I'll help them out as long as they're going forward and want to help. But once they go back, usually they don't come back. You know, that's
wow.
So
well,
sad.
You know, I was noticing just with the implant removals that we're doing right now, we have really stumbled across some fairly major, not so great discoveries.
Yeah.
And in this time, man, is the dark acting very cunningly and using what appears to be very bright and light and supportive services, etc., only to cord those individuals because they're coming in, you know, they're coming into a position of connection on such a grand scale. And it's just like you said, they can just, you know, spread this like wildfire.
Yeah, I call it deadly charisma. You know, there's a lot of very charismatic people out there that, you know, they make all kinds of promises and they give you the feel good message and I'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. This is what's going on. Just, you know, and it's very disempowering. And eventually those people get totally corded into those organizations or that person or whatever. And the beings that person is working with. So there's some safeguards that we always need to address, you know, and use. And one, the main one is, are they empowering you to make your own personal connection with, you know, God, creator, source, or spirit, or whatever? You know, are they setting up a go-between in a worship program, which is very disempowering, you know? And what's their message? Is it all about love and joy and bliss? And also, too, you know, are they giving you a whole truth, not a half truth? And that's what I see a lot of times. People will give people a half truth and the feel good message. You don't have to do anything. You know, you can max out your credit cards. Just come with us and the ships will be here soon. You know,
very
pick
true.
Everybody up. You know, and they have all these programs out there and people buy into it. And they go, I don't have to take personal responsibility now for cleaning up my own mess, you know, and or paying off my own debts or any of these other things. And I can just like drop everything and change my name and hop on a ship and go infect another planet, you know?
Right. Well, isn't it? It's all about balance. You know, balance applies to the light as much as it does to the dark.
Exactly.
You know, and this is where the whole, like you refer to it as the new age messaging, is really gotten screwy because, you know, yes, it's great for us to be in a state of, you know, conscious peace, inner peace. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to see the world in a fashion where, oh, I don't want to look at that because I'll give it energy.
Yeah.
When in fact, we did give it energy by ignoring it.
Yeah.
All of us did.
We gave it full rein, you know, by ignoring it.
Right.
But, you know, that it goes back to, you know, being enlightened is being in knowledge of the dark and the light and in between, you know, the gray areas as well. So, and learning to maintain your own self-authority, you know, in that process. So it's that's what I see a lot is the people that rise to the top are the ones that are really given the feel-good message and don't worry about it and we'll take care of you. And, you know, it's sad, you know, because it's a very disempowering message.
Yeah, and you hit something right on the head, and that is I am so motivated right now, James, to just try to be the torch to really allow people or provide that space so that they step into their authority and their mastery.
Mm-hmm.
And get rid of any kind of overlying, enslavement, kind of intentions or, unconscious behaviors, because we all have them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like just the most important thing I feel right now is to really step into our power. Because, frankly, if all of us that are enlightened, which isn't that many people on the planet, if we really got our act together, stood in our full-blown truth and authority, we could stop these typhoons in the blink of an eye.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we could stop the cabal in the blink of an eye. I mean, they're more afraid of us, realistically, than we are of them.
Well, even the ETs that are snagging people in abductions, you know, we have the genes of the gods. You know,
exactly.
We have the Anunnaki genes, and they want them.
Yeah.
You know, they know how to activate them, you know, even though a lot of them aren't active, you know, within this, they know how to activate them. And so why are they coming for us? You know, why do they want our genes if they're so advanced?
Well, and why are they so obsessed with us? Why, you know, obviously, why are they so obsessed with this planet?
Well, we're the forgotten gods,
right.
You know, and the genetic material here on this planet comes from 12 major star nations, and more have added to it since then. But I mean, the genetics on this planet are unsurpassed, and it's just an amazing place to be. And it should be, you know, protected and taken care of. But there are certain factions here that would like to, you know, this is almost like the apex of creation, you know, throughout the multiverse, where all these magnificent beings participate in it. And so the lower beings it's a threat to them. They want to just destroy it. They don't want it reflecting back to them. They're where they're at, you know, and unfortunately, when you move up the ladder of success into these major institutions, especially the business and political and religious institutions, it just gets darker and darker until these people have totally turned themselves over to this Archon matrix.
Very true. You know, you mentioned the lower beings. The lower beings, like the reptilians, they love the fact that the sun is blocked out.
Oh,
they,
yeah.
They thrive on that, you know? I mean...
Oh, they love the pollution, the Fukushimas and all the other stuff. They thrive on the pain and suffering and the stench, basically, because
exactly.
That's their work.
Yeah, so we can't look at them like, oh, why are they doing this? Because then we're looking at them through the eyes of someone that thinks the way we do.
Well, you know, yeah, the way exactly. What I tell people is I said, I want you to think about this is, you know, what is a human? What's humanity? And you really think about, is it human to go and destroy a whole city and level it with women and children and babies and everything, innocent civilians? Is that a human act? It's not. That's very inhuman. That's about as inhuman as you can get. You know, is it human to spray these toxic heavy metals and biologicals and polymers and everything in the air, knowing that it is going to kill a lot of children and a lot of elderly and whatever else, and totally compromise people's immune systems, you know, which are later on going to really get hit with these other little viruses they've got planned. But you think about that. Is that a human thing to do? No, it's not. That's totally inhuman, you know. Is ignoring Fukushima and what happened there and even being warned over and over by the higher dimensional beings and the ETs to stop the nuclear proliferation, you know, both for reactors and the war industry. You know, they just kept doing it, and to drop an atomic bomb on a whole a whole civilization is beyond inhuman. You know, but you know, you look at these people, and you see, you know, as you move up the network and get into the higher levels, these people are not human.
No,
they're inhuman. Their souls are gone. They've given up their souls. Their souls are so far back in the distance or off somewhere else. And now they're being fully operated by this Archon network. And that's the only thing that makes sense. You know, how could you create vaccines that kill babies and make them autistic? You know, how could you, you know, put all the additives in the water, that fluoride, you know, and aspartame in the food, and, you know, all these things that they're doing, you know, Monsanto creating these Terminator genes, which are actually terminating humans, you know. You look at this whole thing, and I'm not trying to paint a really black picture, but I'm just taking a grounded reality check here that we are governed by psychopaths and inhuman beings. And until we address that and realize that and pull out of it and stop participating in this network, it's going to flourish and it's going to continue, you know, which goes back to why has it gotten as bad as it is because of the inhumanness in all of us, and that we've forgotten what it means to be a human being and to cooperate and work together and live in harmony with each other and the planet. And we haven't set boundaries. You know, I always say right now it's so important to be kind and loving and set boundaries for those who are not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you wrote that in one of your recent blurbs that I was reading. And I thought that would be something really good to go over, because we've all heard that, you know, many of us have been to counseling, like myself, you know, and we've heard that till we're blue in the face. Oh, you need to set boundaries. But this is a different kind of setting of boundaries. I kind of wanted you to talk a little bit about that, because if we don't take it seriously that this is our home and it is an Eden, and just like James said, you know, the genetics that have been brought to this planet, they're not just within the race, you know, they're within the plants, the animals, the insects. I mean, this is just like a garden of every type of species known to the universe, practically. And I know the beings, just from what I've read and heard, they love coming here because of that bioavailability, you know.
Exactly. You know, if I could, I'd like to give a little better understanding of this so people understand the history of Earth. And this is a very short synopsis, but, you know, in the ancient times when the Anunnaki came here, there was a council of 12, and it was 6 men and 6 women. And they were highly evolved, and they lived under universal law, and they did do some genetic tinkering because their planet was dying. And they said, okay, we're going to do a trade. We're going to jump up the genetics of this knuckle dragger, this Neanderthal man, and in turn, he's going to help us get the gold that we need to create as an aerosol to keep our planet alive. And it's a win-win situation, because the knuckle dragger got this huge jump in evolution and consciousness. And in turn, there was a trade, you know, that went on. And so people will try to turn that into a victim program. That original program really wasn't a victim program. It was two civilizations coming together and working together for a common good, basically. But what happened is that when they left, you know, 200 or 300 people behind, and those are the fallen ones that fell. And then they got into all these turf wars and power struggles and things like that. And then, you know, it was like the original Hatfields and McCoys. And so, you know, they had two major players here. Enki was the creator god that was creating, you know, all these different uplegs, you know, with humanity, and wanted to see humanity continue to evolve and create Eden, you know.
Right.
And then you had Enlil, which was the destroyer god that was a warrior, and he wanted to end creation in this creation and start over with a clean slate. And so, and then you had their siblings that were also, you know, given territories and were fighting amongst each other, even to the level of using atomic weapons on each other. So that's our ancient history. So we're coming out of that program of we have this one group that's really into preservation and creation and evolving to the highest potential. And you have another group that wants to just destroy 80% of humanity and just totally clean off the planet. They don't care if they destroy, you know, all forms of life or everything else here. They're just, that's where they're going. And they're very self-serving, you know, and that's where this all came from. That's where this behavior originated, you know, from the gods. And then one of the gods, Marduk, one of the sons, actually wanted power over the entire earth. So he aligned himself with these reptilian beings and brought them in. And so that created even a bigger mess. And so right now what we're in the process of is all that's being played out right now. And there's a huge cleanup happening. And if we understand, like, you know, we can transcend the gods. We don't have to behave that way. We don't have to get into turf wars and power struggles over resources and things like that. We can learn to cooperate and live in peace and harmony with each other. And we don't have to be under the thumb of this reptilian energy, this regenerate ET energy either. You know, we can stand up and the good news is that the benevolent Anunnaki are back. They're coming back and they're extremely benevolent and very powerful. And they're aligned with the Pleiadians, the Arcturians, the Andromedans. And there's a big recall going on where they are calling their people back and saying, what have you done? And they're standing before before the council.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So you're going to see the from the top down being stripped of power and you'll see, you know, it goes into this Archon matrix and some of the old Anunnaki are being dealt with and taken out. And it's leaving the puppets, you know, of these groups. They're just floundering right now because they're getting disconnected. They don't know what to do or how to operate anymore. And so they're losing their minds and losing their consciousness. Even they're having heart attacks because their hearts aren't open, and they're having all kinds of problems where they're imploding. Their whole kingdoms are imploding. And what's really nice is the old grid, the Archon network, which is totally there to disempower people and keep you looking externally for everything. You know, your love, your acceptance, your approval is all gained through material acquisition, you know, and power over others and things like that. Well, that whole program is being torn down, that grid. And a new grid, a 5D grid overlay is coming in, and all these other beings are involved in that. So basically, when you understand the dynamics of what's going on, you can make wise choices and just say, you know what, I think I'm going to choose the 5D grid. I'm going to choose the world where people live in harmony with each other and the planet. And I'm going to start being of service, because that grid is going to maintain the old 3D grid that was here, and with the controllers and the unbridled greed and separation game going on, that grid is just imploding in on itself. So basically we have a choice right now. We can all make that choice, and we need to walk away from the old grid and the old Archon network and start creating a different world and, you know, and live in peace and harmony with each other in service.
You know, you brought up a couple of things. The first one was, we're so accustomed to everything we read, everything we discuss is about the light versus the dark. And even in some of the stuff that you read, you're realizing that even those of the light have been fighting this game for the sake of the light, supposedly, and have lost touch with their light because they've been so caught up in this battle between the light and the dark. That's the first thing I wanted to say. And the second thing is, the unplugging from the matrix, which it's really incredible because that's the core purpose of the blog that I put together. And we stumbled upon these implant removals, and they've completely transformed my life and my husband's life and many of the people that are writing it. So all I'm saying is there is such a legitimacy in getting out of the matrix, literally not being controlled by their technology or what have you internally. You know, it's not like we have a super humongous amount of control at this point, at this stage in the game, with the harp and the EMFs and that, so on and so forth. But we do have full authority over our own bodies, especially when we get the implants removed. I mean, there's a significant difference in the way you feel.
Yeah, and it's too, it's that it's some of the stuff's habitual. You know, we've been doing it for so long, we don't even know how to do anything else. So there is some retraining we're going to have to do, and we have to constantly observe ourselves and monitor ourselves and monitor our emotions and know when, you know, negative emotions are coming to us or through us or whatever. So, you know, it's a little tricky, but once you, you know, that's what it's all about. It's all about self-mastery and self-empowerment and getting rid of the things that disempowered you, you know, and gain the wisdom from that experience.
And becoming who we really are.
Exactly.
You know, that's like, I mean, can you imagine the fact that we're alive at this time? We're able to see this unfold. And we're literally, you know, we're at the forefront of walking into this new golden age with a lot of wisdom and a lot of insight. I mean, we're getting more communications than ever.
You know,
in the history of our planet, we're being inundated by the magnificent light of our central sun. You know, the support is immense. And what I say to people all the time is, do you really think, not only with the cycles and the astrological lineups and all of the immense support that we're getting, I mean, I can tell you right now, technologically, I know you can relate to this. I know something much, much higher than myself is keeping my website afloat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
It wants it to be kept afloat. It's not just about my intention and desire. But all I'm saying to people is, you know, we are in very good hands, very capable hands, yet we need to meet them halfway. And really finally step up to the plate.
Exactly. We need to rise to the occasion and do our part,
right.
You know, and that's part of being the ground crew down here. And a lot of us incarnated for this, and we just haven't awakened to that yet. And that's what we do. We tap people into that so they can get on with their mission and get on with their purpose.
I agree. Now, do you agree that, I want to hear your opinion on this. Do you agree that even though we are transitioning into the fifth dimensional realm, which remains to be seen when, how, what that looks like. Do you believe and agree that there is still duality in the fifth dimensional realm?
Well, there is duality, but it's conscious. It's from my understanding is that the, you know, there's male and female duality. There is other, those kind of dualities, but the consciousness there is not a consciousness that would do harm to humanity, the earth, or you know, they've evolved past, you know they see the creator in all creation, or they wouldn't be in the fifth dimension. Now in the astral levels, yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on there. The lower astral levels, you've got all kinds of discarnate spirits and demons, and you know, the high and the mid astral levels, you got everyday, you know, Joe who crossed over that's going to reincarnate because he didn't really have much of a spiritual understanding. And then the high levels, you know, you'll have teachers and guides, you know, that are, but they're still stuck in the astral level because they have some kind of cultural or religious boundary that they've created that doesn't allow them to go into unity consciousness and see the creator in all creation. But once you get out of the 4D and through that psychic barrier and you're into 5D, then that's gone. You're more aligned with unity consciousness. And that's my understanding. There's a lot of other people say negativity goes all the way to 9D, but I haven't seen it.
Interesting. I just was curious what you thought about that. Now, tell us a little bit about the ninth wave of the Mayans and how you see that, you know, applying to what is going on within all of us today.
Yeah, I see the ninth wave as basically unity consciousness, and it's a wave of energy, and it's just pure love and joy and bliss. And it, as that energy comes in, it's like God force energy, and it's going to push everything to the surface that doesn't vibrate at the same level. So if you're holding on to thoughts of fear and guilt and unworthiness and anger and you know, wounds and traumas from the past, those all have a very low frequency to them. And so those are going to be, you know, pushed right up to the surface, up and out. And, you know, we can, you know, the Pleiadians said the main reason they're here is to help us release the past. And that's where all this is coming from. So I see that wave as exponential. It keeps growing. It gets stronger and stronger. And there's multiple waves within the big wave. And I think there's going to be some really big waves coming through, you know, at the end of right after Thanksgiving. I'm already feeling it now. I've been feeling it starting to build. Yeah. And then Christmas is another big wave that's going to come through. And it's going to be a chance for all of us to totally reevaluate ourselves, our lives, our relationships, everything, and let go of the things that no longer serve us.
Yeah, and don't you also think we've got the fourth Uranus Pluto grand square, and so we're at the peak of that really major shaking loose all that has been entrenched.
Yeah, I think everything's going to be shaken
big
loose here.
Time.
And nothing's hidden, you know, like Jesus said, you know, no rock should be left unturned, you know, and your iniquities will be shouted from the rooftops. And that's what we're in. We're in that phase right now.
That's so funny. You brought up the Pleiadians and said that they're really here to help us release the past. Can you expound a little more upon that? And also, what other kind of light beings have you been working with recently?
Well, there's different groups in the Pleiadian system, and some are just like Christed masters. They're beautiful, you know, and the women are just so, you just fall in love with them instantly. You know, and some of them are like 400 or 500 years old and they look like they're 20, you know, and just beautiful, both genetically and in spirit and energy. And their energies are very strong right now. And they're coming in big time. They have a lot of genetic stock here on the earth. They have the most, and so they're kind of in charge, but they have higher councils they go to, such as the Andromedans, you know, and the Arcturians, and the other councils that are at play here. A lot of Andromedan energy right now is at play, you know, on the earth, and Pleiadian and Arcturian, and the biggest energy I've seen coming in right now is from Sirius, and that's these feline beings that are coming in, and they're powerful, and they're here to clean up the really heavy stuff, the really heavy dark stuff. They're the benevolent protectors, you know. Mm-hmm. And I found their energies coming in are very strong right now. And then there's the Orion Council of Light that also is monitoring all this and in charge of the dispensations of energies and, you know, keeping the earth somewhat in balance as we're going through this transition, so it doesn't get, you know, too much out of balance, because, you know, when these energies hit, they're going to create chaos.
Definitely.
And chaos is good. Some chaos is good. Too much chaos, you know, can create, you know, massive destruction. Right. So we don't want that, but we want enough chaos to get things healed and get a forward movement. So that's what they're involved with. And they're the great initiators too. I was initiated by them after that initiation, I was fully aware of all my past lives, everything, even off-world lives. So,
how cool is that? How did that come about?
Came about in a bathtub, actually. I was meditating in the bathtub, and I just told them, I want to know who I am, why I'm here, and why are these ships flying over my house constantly? And next thing you know, this gold beam came through the wall and hit me in the chest. And it actually left a circular burn mark in the middle of my chest. And three gold balls came down, hit me in the chest, and they pulled me up on the ship. And I had a talk with Melia, who is part of the Orion Council of Light. And then she said I had to go back after the talk because I couldn't stay. I'd have trouble hanging out on the earth if I stayed much longer. But when they returned me, I got out of the bathtub, and I had a big – looked like a burn mark, but it was painless in the middle of my chest. And then it had, it morphed into a triangle and then into a heart. And then it just went away and left a kind of a gold film.
Cool. On my,
which was really interesting.
Very cool. Now, how were you drawn to the location of Yseti in the first place?
Oh, through dreams and visions.
Okay.
I had all kinds of dreams and visions, and I just followed them and got a map out of the United States and used divination methods to find it.
Interesting. And so who is there any particular race that you have an affinity to that you feel is like your closest last incarnation?
Probably I would say the Orion Council of Light and the Pleiadians. I'm very, very connected in there. But, you know, when you get into those lives, you're in almost like a timeless, you know, when you're in 5D, 6D or 7D, time is not the same. And so the latest life, I'm kind of like going to go, well, you know, you can jump all over the place when you're in those higher dimensions and go up and down the timeline. So it gets kind of complicated.
Yeah, I would say so, considering how many different types of civilizations there are out there, you know, that are exactly wanting to connect with us right now.
Yeah.
So, well, is there anything that you'd like to make an announcement on before we tie this up? Can you believe it? It's already almost been an hour.
Yeah.
It just flew by.
You know, I think the main thing right now is I'm going to do a little R&R. I'm taking a little vacation down to Mexico, but to leave people with a note, you know, the bottom line is just be kind and loving to each other and the planet. And you know what's kind and loving and you know what's not. And it might be now time to set some boundaries with those who are not being kind and loving and stand up for your own, you know, rights and the rights of the humans around you and the rights of all life on the planet. And it is time to stand tall and stand in your own divinity and to lead yourselves from your own heart and soul.
That's such a good point, too, because we are truly relearning to be in our own strength and power. And people automatically associate that particular way of being as, oh, God, I'm going to offend somebody, or, oh, I'm going to hurt somebody. But again, if you really dig deeply and you look at that, that's just all enslavement philosophies.
Yeah, you're in that need for acceptance and approval,
right,
outside of yourself.
And you don't have to be a jerk about it, but if you stand in your own truth, you know, and people see the truth in what you are saying, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, you can say, this doesn't work for me. Have fun with that and walk
exactly,
away.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, you don't have to attack them and everything else. Just say, yeah, sorry, that doesn't work for me.
No kidding. Well, James, it's been a delight. I really appreciate this. This is so cool. Spirit has definitely brought the two of us together. And James and I are talking about doing another one, and we might do a series on some of the hot topics that are out there today. If you'd like to go visit his site, it is at www.eseti.com. Which is ECETI.org. And he also has a very cool radio show. When do you air your radio show?
Oh, the show is on BBS. That's every Saturday night.
Okay.
And 8 o'clock on BBS. And then Tuesday night is the one on World Puja.
Okay.
And so.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be right after mine.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, everybody. Well, thank you for listening in. And we have Cobra's interview with us next week. So that ought to be really interesting to do a recap of November's experiences throughout the world. Don't forget that if you have any questions, you can send them in. Otherwise, stay tuned. I will talk to you next week. Same time, same place. Tuesdays, BBS Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific. Thanks. Take care. I love you guys. You guys are an awesome audience, like I always say. And thank you for all your support. We love you. Couldn't be doing this without you. Have a good one. Thanks, James.
All right. Thanks.